Welcome to Rhema for Today.
So I'm sitting there while the Sunday school teacher, while the pastor's teaching this class, and I'll tell you the truth about it. I had about my heart stopped beating right in my bosom, and I fell off the pew, right in the floor. I barely was able. I really started to get up when I passed out and fell. I managed to get my hand up under my nose just to keep from mashing it on the floor. And I did temporarily pass out, just blanked out, just went out.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God series, Volume 1, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
No matter how you are misput and put out, if you really walk in divine love, you'll consider the other person no matter what it costs you. And if every pastor said, no, you come on, I'd gone to every one of them. I've got to do that to keep my word. It's no wonder to me that some of you folks' faith never amounts to anything. Your word's no good. You won't keep your word. Your faith never will amount to anything if you don't learn to be a man or a person of your word. Because you see, to get faith to work for you, you got to believe in your words as well as believing in your heart. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm telling you the truth about it. Amen. Mark 11:23 said, whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Those things which you say are words. Well, you're certainly not going to believe your words will come to pass when you're acquainted with your words and you know you're not a man or not a person of your word. I'm going to say it again. I've said it before. I'm going to keep on saying it. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that one of the characteristics of the spiritual pilgrim is one who swears to his own hurt and changeth not. He won't change. If I tell a person I'll do something, if I tell a pastor I'll do something, if a man has my word for it, if he won't let me out of it, if I tell him, now God's leading me this way, and he said, no, you come on here, I'll go on there. God told me to do that. Are you listening to me? I'm going to keep my word. If I don't keep my word, it'll affect my whole spiritual life. You need to be careful about telling somebody something if you don't believe it. Are you listening to me? Whether you realize it or not, it'll absolutely affect you. I'll tell people the truth every time. I won't tell somebody I'm glad to see them if I'm not glad to see them. I'm not going to start lying. I won't tell them I'm not glad to see them. I'll find some way to say it without violating my conscience. I'm not going to tell somebody they're pretty if they're not pretty. Amen. I'm not going to lie. Say what you want to, it'll affect your faith. Well, that's just being nice. No, it's not. That's being devilish. Your faith won't work because after all, you won't believe in your own words yourself because you never kept your word with anybody. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen. Sure get quiet, don't we? Get out where you're living. It's all right if we're talking about the other fellow, but we get talking about you. You don't get to meddling a little bit. That's something else. Let's see. Where were we here in our Bible lesson? Anybody remember? Well, it was all right with each pastor, so I canceled out. They got them another evangelist. I went ahead and held this other revival for 3 weeks after this convention. And then I had a set up to go preach on a certain Sunday to a certain church. Good church. Strongest church financially, full gospel church in that part of the state. Only one church ran more people than they did. So person-wise, it was second largest church in that part of the state. But financially, it was the biggest one. They paid their pastor the most. They had the most money. They did the most for missions of anybody else. The board said to me, "Oh, Brother Hagin, I don't know, you held a revival. It really may not be necessary for you to come preach, but we've got some new ones in since you was here a couple of years ago to hold a revival, so come preach for us on Sunday." But the board said to me, "We'll just almost guarantee it. You see, Brother so-and-so, one of the former pastors that you preach for, he recommended whoever he recommends. Well, you know, I mean, if you want it, well, you've got it." But I had one Sunday off before I go there and preach. So on this off Sunday, my wife and I went over to visit a neighboring church in a neighboring town. I'm sitting in the Sunday school class, and I can tell you exactly what the lesson was about that Sunday. Pastor had this Sunday school. They tried to get me to teach it. I wouldn't teach. Two other pastors, preachers were there, ordained ministers, and they wouldn't teach. We said, "Well, we'll help you. You go ahead and teach it." You didn't know we was coming anyway. We just slipped in on him. The lesson was about Moses and the children of Israel. About Moses disobeying God and smiting the rock twice, you know, instead of what? Well, I'm pretty well authority on disobeying God, you know, because I just got through disobeying him. You know, I decided. And so I'm sitting there while the Sunday school teacher, while the pastor's teaching this class, and I'll tell you the truth about it. I had about my heart stopped beating right in my bosom, and I fell off the pew right in the floor. I barely was able. I really started to get up when I passed out and fell. I managed to get my hand up under my nose just to keep mashing it on the floor. And I did temporarily pass out, just blanked out, just went out. I pitched out right there at the pastor's feet. Well, he reached down and picked me up. And these other two preachers sitting there on the front pew, they jumped up and they lifted me up on the seat, you know, and set me down. And I said, everybody started praying. And I said, "Take me out." I began to feel no better fast. And I said, one of the pastors, "Come go with me, you know, take me out to the parsonage next door." And they virtually carried me out there. And I laid down the bed there in the parsonage. And I said to this minister with me, "Feel my heart." Now, it started up again. It stopped. It just flat stopped. But when it started up again, it wasn't a... You couldn't distinguish any beats. It was racing, evidently. Just, I mean, you could... You could actually put your finger in here and my neck. You couldn't feel a beat. You could feel the puff. You couldn't feel a beat. If you felt over my heart, you could feel a little something just quivering. That's about all. And I was getting cold all over. And so I said to them, "Feeling my heart." And when he felt my heart, he started crying. He ran out and got the other preacher and the pastor, and they came on. He said, "Feel his heart." And they felt my heart. And they started crying. They said, "Lady, we just knew you was dead." Well, I began to pray in other tongues. And on the inside of me, way down in my spirit, something just rose up in me, enlightenment. It began to take shape and form, and I knew, of course I knew in a sense already I'd missed God, but I saw how badly I'd missed him, how I'd gotten disobedience and got on the devil's territory where he could attack me. No, God didn't send it on me. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, all right, I promise you," among other things in my prayer, I said, "I promise you this, longest day I live, I'll never entertain the idea of pastoring a church again unless you put it into me. I won't entertain it in my mind at all unless you put it into me." Now, I knew I had my part done. I had my part done. But then there rose up something else in me. And I knew on the inside of me, inward enlightenment, you see, that my wife had a part to do. I didn't know. She hadn't said a word to me. I said to one of the preachers, "One, get my wife quickly." Well, he ran out to the Sunday school building next door, went to the ladies' Bible class and looked in, and already the Spirit of God had alerted my wife. She didn't know why, but I'm talking about being led to the Spirit. On the inside of her, she had this alarm. She knew, didn't know how she knew, but she knew something was wrong with me, and she's already gathering up her Bible and her purse and her Sunday school book and getting ready to leave the room, see, when she saw this gentleman came and motioned to her. Well, he told her something to what happened. So she came to the room and fell down on the bed and said, "Dear God," fell down by the side of the bed and put her hands on me and said, I feel like it's my fault." Well, I could see then the Lord didn't tell me. I just knew I had to get her to come stand with me. And she said, I feel like it's my fault. Now, she hadn't griped to me. She hadn't fussed to me. She hadn't said one word of discouragement. She hadn't said one word that would leave the thought that she's not going along with me 100%. But she said, I feel like it's my fault. I feel like maybe he wouldn't have wanted to pastor and quit the field if it hadn't been for me. Because in my heart, see, God knows what's going on the inside of you. I can't see that. You can't see that. In my heart, I resented the fact that he was gone and I'm here with all the burden to raise the children and the family. You see, the two children. And one day the children got off to school and I was washing the breakfast dishes, you know, and on the inside of me murmuring like this. And I heard this voice say, I could take him where he never would come back. And she said, I didn't know this. She never told me. It came revelation to me. All I knew was just the Spirit said, you know, to get her, to have her to come. And she said, I looked all through the house. Looked behind the door, see if somebody was in there. See, to her it was audible. Looked in the bathroom, looked behind the bathroom door. And I checked the doors and the screens are hooked, so couldn't nobody got in the house. And I passed it off as my imagination playing tricks on me. She said, Lord, that was you that spoke to me that day in an audible voice and said I could take him where he never would come back. Now I promise you this, Lord, that I'll never complain. I'll never feel badly on the inside of me. Again, no matter where he goes, if you call him to go to Africa, no matter how long he's gone, if you'll just spare him. Well, I'd already prayed my prayer and made my dedication. Now she had made hers. And the Spirit of God in me called these men, these ministers present as a witness to our dedication, to my wife's consecration. And the power of God fell on me and I leaped off of the bed while my heart still wasn't beating. I just danced all through the house. It was perfectly healed.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's 3-CD set entitled Jesus is Coming Again. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book entitled The Table That Speaks. Last but not least is Lynette Hagin's book, Hey God, Why Is It Taking So Long? All these items are for the special price of only $40. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Rhema Bible Training College, we're enrolling for the fall of 2026. And so you can go online and do that, or you can also come to our Rhema College weekend. That's April the 10th through the 12th. Right here on the Rhema USA campus, you'll attend classes, meet the dean and some other instructors, tour the campus,
yes,
a luncheon, worship night, job and housing, fun night, and of course, end the weekend by attending Rhema Bible Church there on Sunday morning. It's a wonderful weekend, and so we just invite you and encourage you to come and find out all about Rhema Bible
Training College. Go to rbdc.org and find out about it.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue this powerful teaching. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.